Everything has turned into a short mindset. You get a video, if you don't get it within 5 seconds, 10 seconds, you're on to the next one. So we've turned into, you gotta capture my attention at first. If you don't, I'm on to the next one.
The comments on TikTok are undefeated.
They're great.
I don't even care about the video. I just want to see the comments.
Every single time, especially if it's like a funny video or like a video that probably shouldn't be posted or something. And you go through and you're like, I was thinking the same thing.
What makes me nervous about the new tech headset stuff, is it really enhancing human life?
When the iPhone came out in 2007, from then when you have internet and everything's touchscreen, get into Facebook, it's always like you want to see what other people are doing. So you get on it and scroll and then you lose track of what you're doing.
So we got Landon on the show. He's from Grove City, or at least his business is in Grove City here in Ohio. We flew him in. We had we airdropped him in.
Yep.
You like that?
I like that.
That's kind of, it
goes into what's going on here.
There we go. So what do you got going on? You got Strictly Apple, your company. I've seen you on Facebook for years. Small town kid. You said that you grew up and you went to school with 5 kids in high school.
I graduated with 5 people. The school, kindergarten through 12th grade, had 65, 70 in total. So about 5 per grade, if you do the math right.
And they were all your family members, you said too, right?
A couple of them, sure. 2 brothers were in there. So they were a small school. Not too many people that I knew, but yeah, 5 people in my grade and graduated with.
I've been teasing you the whole time, but I got much respect, man. Anyone that's in business, anyone that is solving problems, anyone that is, you know, bringing value, I just got much respect for. Being in business is very, 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 very difficult. And it's just been cool to see your journey from afar, like literally from Facebook. Right. I'm like, kid to like, oh, wow, he's running a business. Much respect. And it's not easy. It's not easy.
I've learned a lot of things in the past. I guess I've been doing it for 7 years now. So when I turned 18 is when everything kind of started, and I've been through there. So I'll be 26 here in March. So I guess maybe right around 8 years, but I've learned a lot, totally different from, you know, going from the bedroom to where we are today. Totally different.
What started all this, right? So your company, Strictly Apple, you repair Apple products, right? You started in your bedroom, maybe fixing, you know, like, oh shit, I got that virus on here. Clicked too many categories on the hub. I got to get this shit fixed quick. But how exactly did you start Strictly Apple and or start in your bedroom and, you know, transform to what it is now?
Right. So I graduated in 2016. I graduated. And after I graduated, I worked for a landscaping company. But my cousin up in Cleveland had a computer shop and he just sort of sold computers, like random, you know, Windows, Apple devices all over the place. And it was just computers. So I was pretty good at selling stuff, you know, and that's what I've kind of enjoyed doing. So I would buy some stuff off him, bring it down to Columbus. The Columbus market is a lot larger than, he lived in Elyria. So that market's a lot smaller up there. So we were able to, I was able to buy stuff, bring it down to Columbus, sell it, make some money on it. And I really, really enjoyed doing it. So after doing that, for like 6 months, so all the 2016 summer after I graduated, that's what I did. I was working with landscaping and my brother. And then in the fall, in October, I came up with strict. I just like selling Apple products. They sold faster. I made more money off them. And I strictly wanted to sell Apple products. So there's the name. I made it on Facebook in October of 2016.
People that have Apple products, they seem like they have their life together a little bit more.
They do. They do. For sure. I have the,
you probably didn't see this where you're from, or maybe you did. I don't know. Might've been like your school attire that you had to wear, but you know, the chicks that wore the Hello Kitty pants.
Oh yeah.
I think they have the Androids.
They definitely have the Androids. There's, the Android people are, they're different types of people. There's good, there's bad, but there's different
people.
Yeah. They're different all the way around.
But they still listen to the show. So if you have Android, you still listen to the show. We still love you. All right.
Right. Right.
Consider an Apple.
I was working with some people the other day. Every single time somebody works with me, whether it's, a friend or like, the guy at my bank has an Android and he's always joking. He's like, I want to get an iPhone. I'm like, okay, yeah, we'll see what happens. But they all have,
it's like Androids. A cult.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
And, but you know, a thing or two about that. So
yeah,
we won't get into that. I've seen this before.
So.
But anyway, sorry to cut you off. Back to
no, you're good.
Building. You're basically just like getting stuff discounted in Cleveland area from your family member driving it down to Columbus. You're just hustling, man. You're working landscaping. Hey, I'm going to buy an iPhone for $1,000 and maybe sell it to somebody here in Columbus for $1,400 and just posting it like on Facebook, connections, family, friends, whatever.
Marketplace, a ton on Marketplace. Okay. I actually, my brother didn't know this until after I stopped working with him, but he used to do all the Bob Evans and Steak and Shakes around Columbus, like do all the landscaping there. Oh, nice. And we used to, I would have people meet me because I knew where I was going to be at a certain time because I was driving the truck to the next location to, you know, mow the grass and stuff. And I would have people meet me at these locations and sell them a device. I literally hop off the mower, get in the truck, grab the MacBook, give it to them, take the cash, get back on the mower, finish the job. And I would do that several times a week selling these devices, and I would make money. And like these guys that are working with us are like, dude, what is he doing? So it's super sketchy too. Like
selling drugs and
stuff. Yeah, just a computer. It's a fully wiped computer. But I would meet people, you know, I used to meet people everywhere, like a gas station. I had a guy one time come up with a Nike duffel bag full of brand new sealed Apple watches. And that people, you know, posting that at first, when you don't know people, they're like, where did you get this stuff? And there's, you know, 10 grand in Apple watches sitting in a bag and I'm 18 years old. They're like, dude, what's going on? So that was definitely the start of it.
Which it was all legal, right?
Oh, no, 100% it was all legal. Yeah. For anybody listening, it was 100% all legal. They're good. You know, when I buy anything, especially if it's brand new sealed, we definitely check the serial number. If it's stolen or something, you can tell if there is, you know, lost or stolen device, but it was all 100% legal and still is now. So I was doing that and I was going around and selling Apple devices. People started coming to me, buying stuff off of me. And then I started to work. You know, I did this for a couple of years and I started to actually work for a financial company. So at this time I went from my bedroom to the like dining room in our house. And then Thanksgiving came around the corner the following year. And my mom was like, you can't be in the dining room. Like we have turkey, right? So I had to move down to the basement. Well, then the problem was I had a selection of computers. I had like 10 or 15 computers out and I had them like on a, you know, 3x6 table or something so people can come and see them. And it was as much of a store as you could get in your basement of your parents' house. So I had people come down there and then they're like, okay, well, people are like walking through our house. Like my family's eating dinner. They're walking through our house. I'm going downstairs. So my mom was
weird.
Yeah, it's super weird. And she's like, no. So we had like this back porch, like a Florida room is what you would call it, I guess. And we had a back porch and there was a door to the outside. And that's when I started. I had it all set up. They let me put like a logo on the doors, like a sliding like glass door. I had a ton of Ohio State players. Bobby Carpenter came there. A whole bunch of Ohio State players that a couple that play in the NFL now.
When was this? What year?
This is 2017, maybe 2018 at that point.
This is pre-NIL money. So we might have to cut this out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How did they get that money?
No, I actually got in trouble with that. I don't know if you have to cut this out or not, but I was like, they were buying the devices from me. And then I would post like, hey, what's up? Like I sold to, whoever, that's a whole bunch.
Yeah,
of
whatever.
I sold to these players. And then we, eventually I had somebody from OSU that used to play, who is still a customer to this day, but he contacted me. He's like, hey, I'm in charge of this department. Like you can't post that stuff on social media. You have to take it down because people are saying that you're giving them devices for free, which they all paid for them. I didn't have enough money then to give anything away. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, there was no free devices back then, but they did. The
Department of Ohio State University was like, yo, we're getting some backlash.
Yes. I had the person that is in charge of, I know his name, but the person that is in charge of all of that, it's like, hey, are these people, who have you sold to? I gave him all the names. He said, how did they pay? He said, have they taken any deals? Like, did you say you give them this for free? And
just post about it for marketing.
Yep. Yeah. And that never happened, not once. It was just, you know, they would reach out to me. One of the guys reached out to me and offer up. It's like, hey man, I need a MacBook. I sold him a MacBook. It's like $300 or something. It was an older one. He needed it for school and he bought it. And then there was a ton of other ones. I had to meet me all over McDonald's and had to meet me at church one time, the whole nine yards there. So
and next thing you know, you have a suite at the Shoe.
Yeah.
Right.
There was a,
it's a joke. Everyone just joking. Everyone don't worry. So, okay. So you were, you're just hustling, man. You went from the bedroom to mom's basement to the Florida room and you just started getting exposure, right? Like yep. Apple started picking up as a company, right? They're dropping AirPods, new iPhones, new MacBooks. If I'm correct in my assumption, this is like 2015, 16, 17, right?
16, 17, 18 is when a lot of that happened right there, right after I graduated.
And also too, like for consumer behavior around this time as well, things started going way more digital in terms of people becoming influencers, people creating content.
People even working at home on a regular basis.
People working at home on a regular basis, being able to literally do everything digital right. If you want to. Share that like that leap story, right? Like when you're at your parents' house, they're like, yo, we're trying to have dinner here and you got like people coming in out of the house, you know? Like,
yeah. So I was selling stuff from my parents' house. And then eventually there was a guy in Grandview who had a shop and he was like, hey, are you interested in running this out? Well, at this time it was like in the winter and I was like, yeah, potentially, but this was the winter of 2020. So right when COVID started, he gave me the opportunity and the rent was fairly low. I was like, I know I can afford the rent. I don't have any bills because I live with my parents. I have my car bill. You know, that's pretty much it. So I said, I know I can afford this currently of what I'm doing. Just like over the past year, I know I can afford this right here at minimum. So I opened that storefront in May of 2020. So 2 months within that, like 90 day period of, you know, everything shutting down and all that happened in 2020. I opened a storefront, in Grandview on Fifth Avenue. You know, COVID kind of had a lot to do with, you know, people are working at home now. So when they were working at home, I had people buying laptops, iPads, everything for their kids to be at home for school, for their parents to be, or the parents to be, you know, at home and work. And they needed those devices. So COVID kind of, for a lot of businesses, you know, it hurt them, but me, it kind of gave me a kickstart because they needed exactly what I had.
Or fixing
device. Stuff. I have this old computer I need to fix because I got to work at home. Or, and, you know, at the beginning, I fixed some devices like batteries and stuff. From my home before, but not really until I opened a storefront just because I didn't have the parts, I didn't have the inventory, things of that nature. So then we opened up the storefront. It was just me. I remember sitting there for there were several days when I first opened because I went from selling on Facebook Marketplace to putting a sign up and waiting for people to come in. Mm. I would watch a ton of Netflix sitting back there. I had a TV in the corner and I just sat there. It was a office that was about 700 square foot. And I would just had my devices out there, made sure everything was clean, open up at 11 a.m. in the morning. And there was days where not a single person came in. I'm just messaging people back on Marketplace. Like, are you sure you don't want to buy this? Like, I'll cut the price down for you. Like, I want to make this sale. And then we had, you know, we started having people and people just picked up and had our open signs out. But that's when I really started to be like, okay, I got to figure this out. Let me get out of my comfort zone. Let me start posting on social media. Mm-hmm. And from there until now, you know, everything kind of took off.
And I'm curious, I want to hear more about that, getting out of your comfort zone, because we were talking about it offline. Why I love the podcast show is it forces me to get out of my comfort zone. Every human being fears public speaking. Most people fear public speaking more than they do death. And I believe that communication is the number one skill set that people should be continuously working on. And for you, where was that uncomfortable moment that you knew you had to break through to scale your business, to get customers to walk in the door, to get them to purchase things online? Was it stop watching Netflix and actually start putting content out and sharing location? Like, what was that strategy, I guess you could say, of someone listening in, whether they have a storefront type business or whether they just have a business in general, or maybe they're just quote unquote stuck in life and they need to step into that comfort zone?
Right. So initially all I ever did was Facebook. I had a small Instagram page with like maybe 1,000 followers, but it was just Facebook. And I remember working towards, you know, I had this Facebook page for 4 or 5 years and I had like 2,000 likes on it. That's it. And, you know, that would do everything for me. I'd post on Facebook, I'll park and post on Marketplace. And eventually I'm like, man, you know, this TikTok thing, right? Cause 2020 is kind of when TikTok exploded. I was like, I might as well post. So I started posting, and man, within like 3 months, it just grew. I knew I couldn't, and I'm so happy that I did, because if I would never got out of that like comfort zone of just sitting in the shop, that would be nowhere where I am today. It's 100% because I just post the video. It doesn't matter. you know, it doesn't have to be perfect content every single time. And our content now is much better than it was back then. But we grew tremendously in the matter of 6 months.
Like, what were some of the
some of those
educating how to like fix a computer?
I would just post so we would say, here's how you fix a computer just off using my iPhone. Just simply my iPhone. Mm-hmm. It was, I would take videos of like, here's how you replace a battery. This customer sent this device in. So at first, you know, it was just posting videos. Well, then one day I had a customer reach out and they're like, hey, can we send you our computer from Arizona or something? And we want you to replace the battery in it. I'm like, I mean, yeah. I said, you got to ship it here and stuff. And they had no problem doing it. Well, about after 6 weeks of posting, hey, this customer sent this in, we had so many inquiries. I would come out to this storefront in the morning and there'd be 25 packages sitting there of people that sent in their MacBooks for us to repair. And I'm like, okay, I got some work to do today. No more Netflix. You know what I mean? So we started doing all that. And, it really transformed into what, you know, we do now. And just, we didn't ship devices for sales until even about a year and a half ago. We didn't start doing that either.
So basically started from like flipping to an extent, like, or not flipping, but, you know, buying discounted product, selling it for a profit, and then having people stop by the family house to buy stuff out of the basement, to then get in the storefront to hopefully people walk in because they see that I have this company with the logo in front of it, right? To then putting content out there, start capturing a much larger audience. But in reality, you were just in a position and your business was only really designed to serve people here in Central Ohio. It was never, maybe not never, but it wasn't currently designed at that time to go serve people globally.
Right.
Just let alone nationwide.
Within Columbus. That was the idea at first.
So was that like the biggest hurdle that you had right out the gate was like, whoa, we got to start managing DMs. We got to start managing shipment orders coming in and, you know, really bringing on a team and building an infrastructure as far as serving all of these orders.
So before I would respond to, you know, every single message that our Facebook, Instagram, everything got, I would respond to personally just because, you know, there's maybe 25, 30 a day and that's easy for one person to do. Especially if you're not, don't have a lot of business coming in. So it's like, I respond to these. Well, there was a time when our TikTok account jumped from like 30,000 to over 100,000, like overnight. So you wake up the next morning and there's literally 10,000 messages. Yeah. Right.
I'm famous.
Everybody's messaging you. Hey, can you do this? Can you do that? You know, you link your Instagram in there. People are, when a video blows up, I think the reason that one video blew up is, we had the iPhone 12 Pro unboxing. I posted that video within 24 hours, I had 15 million views. That video jumped us over the 100K. I think it took us over 200K on TikTok. And then from there, you know, you see all these videos. Hey, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? All these DMs coming in. And that is like, okay, now I have more confidence because I didn't have the confidence. You never post a video before. You're super nervous about, even if you have 5,000 people that are going to see it, you're super nervous about what people are going to say, the comments. Even now, you know, we have a very decent following now and I still get comments that, are like, man, okay, just don't read the comments today. It's good. Just keep going.
Just like what kind of comments? Just like negative stuff.
Oh man.
Isn't it funny how we always like can remember a couple of those negative comments or things that come in?
I had a guy on YouTube. So we went over this last year. I was like, let's focus on YouTube. We went over 100K on YouTube within like 6 months of last year. And one of the comments as we were growing, this guy was like, this dude looks like the Waffle House mascot. It's literally a waffle. I was like, man. So I started like looking myself in the mirror and asked my girlfriend, do I look like the Waffle House mascot?
It might've been your boy over here.
Yeah.
He has a burner account set up.
There's probably a couple of those. I have one guy one time.
Doesn't it suck too when it's kind of good? You're like, fuck.
Like that's a good one. I wish I would have thought of that first.
Damn. That's kind of good. Yeah.
No, I had that. I had another guy. This was like last week. He was like, I would never trust this guy. Look at his fingernails. Cause in the video I do, I have my hands and I bite my fingernails. Like I always have a horrible habit, but I do. And I was like, man, he got me again.
Yeah. It's so funny how, the digital economy, what I like to refer to it as in terms of things being digital, like how, like you can be so confident and then yet like I'm the Waffle House.
Yeah. No, the small comments
give me just like,
because I do see all the comments.
Humble you real quick.
I see comments all the time. And you know, you choose to respond what you can respond to and things of that nature. But those negative ones, I'm like, sometimes like, okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Cause I can take the, after having so many comments, it's like, and I grew up with two older brothers. So, you know, I was definitely picked on. Yeah. So I'm okay with it. But I'm like, man, that was a good one.
People don't hate though. That's doing better than you. That's what I've learned in this journey. Like anyone that's going to comment or send you a DM or try to text you or threaten you or whatever it may be. It's like, I've never met anyone that has done that. That's doing better than me.
Right.
And it doesn't have to necessarily be money in a bank account. I'm talking about like the most valuable real estate in the world, the space in between your ears, right? Your mindset. So it's like, that's never been the case, at least in my experience of life so far, is people that do that, they're usually never doing better than you. If anything, it's kind of like goes back to like being empathetic, like, oh wow, you had to take time out of your day to put that out. It's a
comment, but yeah.
Some of those comments, bro, they're funny as hell. And I'm like, you know what? That's actually one of the first things I do on a great TikTok video. Like I go to the comments, dude, the comments on TikTok are undefeated.
They're great.
It's a bad habit of mine. Like midnight, I don't even care about the video. I just want to see the comments.
Every single time, especially if it's like a funny video or like a video that probably shouldn't be posted or something. And you go through and you're like, I was thinking the same thing.
It's wild. So what do you guys do now? What would you say is like your specialty now, as far as like, you could say like an FAQ, frequently asked questions, frequently asked things that you get in the comments, get in the DMs, people that you serve and help.
Right. So the whole idea of Strictly Apple is we buy, sell, and repair all Apple devices. So we have a full online system where you can go on, you can sell your device, get an instant quote, sell your device. We give you a label and you mail it in. Once we get it, we send you a check. So there's our buy. You can also walk in and do it in the store. We sell. We have a full online store with all of our inventory that's up to date. We ship anywhere in the US and you can go on there. There's payment plans available. You can buy it outright. There's different colors, different conditions, different sizes, iPads, iPhones, AirPods, chargers, the whole nine yards. It's all online. And then we have the buy, sell, and repair aspect. So we have a whole system set up as well where you can go online, you can send your device in for repair. So every single day, we get roughly 10 to 15 packages in on repairs that come into us. I have two full-time techs and they work on that stuff every day. So some phone screens, some MacBooks, some iPads, some older iPods. We do micro soldering, board work, the whole nine yards. When it comes to Apple, we sort of point A to, you know, point Z, I guess you would say, try to get everything in between.
What's the biggest, I'm curious about like the biggest hurdle that you ran into so far. Is it building the team? Is it staying on top of it with content and acquiring new clients and marketing? Is it something that maybe you're going through now? Cause it's really easy to talk about like scars, right? Mm-hmm. It's really easy to talk about like, oh man, if I knew this back then, I would have been able to go here. But is there, you know, obviously share what makes you feel comfortable, like anything right now that you're like, yo, Tyler, we're kind of dealing with this right now. And if we can overcome this, or I'm having this problem, we can get to this next step of my goals or where we're trying to expand.
Right. So obviously, you know, we've grown our team from just me to right now, we're in the next couple, we have like 11 people that work full time that are at the shop every single day. But we're obviously expanding our social media and things like that. And I've never necessarily had a problem with customers, never had a problem with getting people through the door. My problem is myself. So like my mental toughness on a daily basis is always tested, because a lot of my guys that work with me are older than me. So, you know, if you have somebody that's 35 years old and I'm 25 years old sometimes, and you want to be their friend and having been a small business, you can't always, it's not always easy to understand the difference between being your friend and then being your boss. I don't like necessarily being, you know, the boss all the time, because I'm still 25. Like I like to enjoy being at work and having fun and stuff like that too. But being mentally tough on a daily basis and being like, okay, what's the right decision to make here? Because as we grow and add new people on, I want to make sure that my guys have the best, you know, I want them to stick with me. So I want them to enjoy their day. I don't want them to, you know, be overworked, you know, underpaid the whole nine yards, but then also being figuring out the decision or the decisions that you have to make and talking with them, having the hard decisions, figuring out, you know, what is the best thing to do for your business on a daily basis versus just fluff. And a lot of times just fluff, like just do this, do that. Mm-hmm. You got to throw something else in there.
Yeah. Like building the culture up where eventually over time they want to work with you, not go work for a big company. Cause I'd assume that's maybe what you run into as far as like finding talent, right? Mm-hmm. You know, turnover is usually the biggest expense for any business, whether it's, you know, turnover in a tenant in real estate, right? Like having to burn through tenants that are going in and out of your property, or burning through new employees, having to, now we have to go to these different resources and market that we're opening for positions, and we got to interview them, and then we select them, and then actually, in fact, they're not a good fit either. So we have to go rehire. So it's like a never-ending process, right? Again, turnover is usually the biggest expense in business and really in life with people, right? So that said, though, it also can be the highest ROI in terms of having the right people, the right culture. But I'm curious with other potential hurdles that you might have experienced, whether it's getting talent and keeping that talent versus them going to like a local, another local competitor, or a big company like, correct me if I'm wrong, like I know of Best Buy.
Right.
And I think that's where I personally would go like, oh, I think Best Buy fixes, can fix my MacBook. Right. Like what makes you different than Best Buy or this other local guy? And or to keep that talent here versus them going to go work at Best Buy.
Right. So that's a really, really good question. So a lot of the things that we specialize in is stuff that gets
good questions, by the way.
Well, a lot of stuff that we specialize in is specifically stuff that gets turned down. So we have a lot of customers that will go to Best Buy, and then Best Buy refers them to us because they legally can't do it. So we're not certified by Apple. We're not any type of certifications when it comes to having to work with Apple. I could start, you know, selling Windows computers tomorrow and start working on them if I wanted. There's nothing fully, it's whatever we decide to do, I can do. So, well, the difference is we can do whatever we want and starting to data repair, working on devices. And then the reason I think we hold a lot
So they have like contracts, sorry to interrupt you, but they have like contracts in place that say like, we have this agreement in place, we technically can't work on this product or,
Yeah, and then there's devices past a certain age they can't work on. I'll work on your 2005 iMac. I'll work on whatever. As long as, you know, we have an agreement, there's our price, there's what you want. A lot of places won't pull data. We'll attempt to pull your data off. Like if you drop your device in water, we have a full water data recovery thing that we do and set up for that.
I thought you just put it in rice and then—
You can try that.
Jerry will come fix it at night.
I heard a lot of people do that, but that actually affects stuff worse than— especially when it gets stuck in that charger port, man.
Those the rice does?
Oh, it's really bad.
Oh,
it's
man.
All the time. Every single time, like I'd put my—
You're out of business, Jerry.
I dropped my phone in water and now, you know, I dropped my phone in water and now I can't get it to turn on. It won't charge. And then you just pull a piece of rice out and plug it in.
Oh, because it like jams in
it's
there?
It's stuck in there. Just like you have lint or something of that nature. It's—
I get that in my belly button sometimes.
Yeah. Every once in a while.
So really it's like, hey, we can— you know, I'm not, you know, that's really the value of small business to an extent, right? Yep. It's like, hey, we're not like— you go to a local farmer's market. I know some people may not know what this is, right? Yeah. We know what a farmer's market is.
Every Saturday.
This man's buying a cow, by the way. You guys heard at the very beginning, he's buying half a cow.
I am buying half a cow.
I thought that was some kinky stuff that you guys run to.
No, nope,
you know, I'm
nope.
Like, what's her name? Sarah? Is she half a cow, full cow?
I don't think she has a name. I'm not sure for sure of that.
All right.
But we're getting half of her. At least half of her.
But it's like, to an extent, right? It's like going to a local farmer's market, more personalized versus going to Walmart, right? Yep. Or going to a big franchise to where they can only sell this. Whereas you go to a farmer's market, you might be able to like, hey, can I buy your jam for $5? Because it's about to close in 2 minutes instead of seven.
Yep.
You know, maybe that's a horrible example. That's just the hillbilly side of me coming out. But to an extent, it's like, oh, you don't have these big corporate contracts. You don't have to, you know, essentially operate by these specific rules in terms of having to only work on this under these conditions. So bring in your 2005 computer if you need it fixed.
Exactly. And you know, that's just the repair side of things. The other side of things is the selling side that we do. So we have devices that are brand new sealed. Now we don't have a ton of them, but we have a lot of devices that are just open box. So say somebody, you get a brand new MacBook, you open it up, you're like, I don't want this. I take it back to the store, right? We have a lot of those devices that are going to be a couple hundred under what retail is. So if somebody, you know, if you're okay with that, we have a ton of those devices as well. Great condition device. We have refurbished devices, you know, the whole nine yards when it comes to the devices that we sell. Cause you know, it's not everybody, you know, MacBook Pros, the cheapest MacBook Pro you can get right now is $1,300 for a MacBook Pro. So if you need a MacBook Pro and you want to start doing some small video editing,
yeah,
your automatic thought is going to be $1,300. But we have devices that are a couple years older that are $500. So for the person that needs that, is that a better budget? Or the person that's like, hey, I got $300. I just want something to get on the internet. We have that as well, which you can't get that anywhere.
What about the, I'm curious on like the legality side of things. Have you got any backlash from like Apple? Have you got any backlash from, and also like warranties? Do people get warranties? You know, that would obviously give people peace of mind, right? Like if they go to Apple to buy something versus going to you like, oh, well, I can return it, right? Do you have like a specific return policy? Are there other, I guess, hurdles that you've ever ran into or warranties, maybe stuff that you never knew at the beginning of starting this journey to like, man, I wish I would have known about that sooner on.
No. Yeah. Well, at first, you know, when you do something on Marketplace, there's no warranty, there's no returns, there's no anything. So going from that until we have like policies in place and stuff now, a customer, you know, if they buy from us, they can return it within 30 days. But we do in-store credit. So that customer can swap it out for something else. And a lot of the times, depending on the situation, that's really what a customer wants. If they're like, hey, this $500 MacBook isn't doing what I want. I need the $1,000 one for what I want. Can I just pay the extra $500? I have no problem doing that at all. That's an easy, simple thing we do. All of our devices come with a one-year warranty. So that's the other thing. You know, you go to Apple, you spend $1,300, you get a one-year warranty. You come to us, you spend $200, you get a one-year warranty. So no matter what, you're covered. It's the same warranty that Apple gives, but we just give it directly. The other benefit is, say you have a MacBook and you spent, say, $500 on it, you bought it from us. Well, within that first year, we will cover anything as long as it's not damaged. It's a non-accidental warranty. We offer extended warranties as well. So if you break it, you know, drop it, crack it, throw it in water, we have extended warranties for that. That we're partnering with a company called Safeware. So they're a pretty big warranty company that runs. So we do the warranties with that. And, you know, doing that, we're able to offer the customer, you know, multiple different solutions for if they break their device and, you know, having that 1 year warranty. We have people bring their stuff back all the time within a year, especially if it's a used device. Sometimes it happens.
What about those Clinton emails? Have you got a hold of those yet?
No, but we've had a video one time that went viral. Specifically about a computer, and everybody was like, this is the computer, this is the computer, this is the computer.
Yeah. They thought that you had like...
They thought I had the computer.
Hillary Clinton's computer?
There's like thousands of comments that say that. I got to find the video, but they're in there.
They think that you're the guy that's like working on it and getting all the back.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it was jokes, but you know, when somebody comments something and 30,000 people like the comment, and there's some people that believe that right in there.
So is it true?
No.
All right.
No.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Not the computer that I know of.
What are those, you know, knock on wood, hopefully this doesn't happen for you, right? But like if somebody would want you to, have you ran into issues where people like deleted data, try to get data back, or they were trying to like, I don't know, maybe the government officials like, hey, can you back whatever the heck it's called. Like, can you go back and pull this data off of a computer? Have you ever had any of those unique circumstances?
Not from the government, but from very upset wives.
Ooh.
We've had this lot. Actually, like all the time. Like if we have people come in and be like, hey, this is my husband's phone.
Sorry, go ahead. Sorry. Do you get to see some of this shit too? Like, are you actually seeing it, or is that like a whole privacy thing as well? Cause I ain't trying to expose you or clients or anything.
So no, well, obviously, like, you know,
do you see some shit
when it comes with what?
You know what I'm saying?
On their devices. No, we don't. So customer will give us a device. We don't ever look through the device, but you know, if a customer's like, hey, I need this stuff off my computer. It's like, okay, like what picture do you want? You know, like,
yeah, I see
I'm
a like, fucking,
I'm looking for the picture. So you got to tell me what picture you want.
You want the one of your kid or your lap hog out?
Yes.
Which one do you want off?
It's one or the other.
Is it little Johnny or big Johnny? Which one is coming off?
And sometimes there's stuff, you know, we have had customers specifically that are like, hey, I want these pictures of me and my husband. There's certain pictures on there and you just go through and you're like, hey, which picture would you want that folder? Okay. We want to verify. You might send them a screenshot of all the pictures. They're like, yeah, that's the folder that I want. And you know, they have to understand like you're asking for this. There's only one way to figure it out is to look for it. But we had a wife come in one time and she brought her husband in with her and she's like,
his head's down.
Yeah. His head's down. He's like looking around the room. She's like, my husband, you could tell that there was, you know, beef going on. And we eventually got the, I think he's cheating on me when he goes out of the car to go find his password or whatever. She's like, I think he's cheating on me. Can you do this? And he just doesn't know his screen code on his phone. Well, if you don't know the screen code on your phone, you can fully reset your phone, but you need your iCloud to get back in. He's like, I can't remember my screen code. I can't remember my iCloud.
Like, he's like winking at you. Like,
no, like pretty much like, dude, I will do whatever you need. Like, do not do that. We had somebody come in last week and this guy had this 14 Pro, I actually did a video on it. He had like a 14 Pro Max or a 15 Pro Max. And I mean, the back was busted. The front was busted. The frame was bent. We're like, what happened? He's like, man, my girl caught me. And he's like, she threw it out the wall. And I'm like, yeah, that'll do it. That's happened a lot actually. So
you've had a lot of people come in and you've ended a lot of relationships. It sounds like
well, obviously that's not the goal here, yeah. But we've had some,
you've created opportunities for new relationships.
Yes. And maybe they stuck.
Yeah.
And maybe they learned. Sometimes lessons are meant to be learned and you know, it's a different way of learning.
It's like the funeral business, man. You found a recession proof business to be in. Well done.
Yeah. It's super awkward when you have like a husband and a wife or a boyfriend and a girlfriend and they're like, I know what's going on here. And they're just like looking at each other like, no, you didn't. And I'm like, okay, well, let me know what you guys think about this because I am not a relationship counselor.
Because that face doesn't match the one on the picture that I have pulled up here.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's
different face.
Different nose for sure.
Yeah.
You just go from there and you're like, okay, well, I don't know what to tell you.
I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
I did not sign up for this. What about the situation with TikTok having a lot of our data? What about the situation with people like using AirTags to like track people? Really, my question is, are there things that people can do to protect themselves where their data is not getting shared with the world? Or people are like tracking them like a crazy ex,
yeah,
or something like that. Are there some miscellaneous tips that you have there?
That happens. That actually happened one time in Grove City of all places. There was a girl who she posted on, you know, we have a Grove City Connect page and there's like everybody from Grove City in it. And she was like, I feel like I'm being tracked. There's an AirTag that's tracking me, but I can't find the AirTag. So a lot of times, and you've probably seen it on the news or YouTube or whatever, people will put devices like, they can put an AirTag and throw it in your trunk or put it in your car or like duct tape somewhere and they can track you to a certain point. So if that AirTag connects with your Bluetooth on your phone, it will tell you, mm-hmm. But it'll also say, hey, your AirTag's been spotted here, 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 and give you certain locations. So if you do that for a certain period of time, you're going to know, hey, you know, they wake up, they go here, they do this, they go mm-hmm. there. And it's extremely scary, but it's, you know, the best thing to do is to make sure that your location's privacy is set to where it needs to be. Whether it's on Facebook, I mean, there's a whole debacle with Facebook and sharing information. When it says, do you agree? You should probably read the agree part. You know what I mean? Like on any types of ads, not just yes, terms and conditions, I agree.
When that's it comes boring though, bro.
Oh no, I know.
TikTok video.
Push the right side, I agree, and just keep going. I do that every single time. But if you know you're someone to be nervous about those things, then definitely do your research on looking into them and like, what does this actual policy say? Things of that nature. Personally, me, I am not too nervous about those things. I just sort of, okay, yeah, we'll keep going. I don't really have nothing to hide. So,
yeah.
Or it's not even people that have nothing to hide. It's just, I don't want people knowing where I am.
What about like the little camera at the front of a computer, right? Like people usually put like a sticky note on there. Is that something that you recommend?
Window. Yeah. Yeah. You can,
like, is the government watching people just pull their pork at night or what?
So here's the thing. They're not watching it, but they can. They Ooh. Could 100% pull your camera up. If there are governmental, like that's why people do it. You know, it's not, there's not going to be some dude in India looking at your phone or like he's not, they're not doing that. But if it came down to it and they are trying to track you, and you know, Apple's privacy policies are there 100% to protect. But if they think that you're killing people in America and they can track your phone and find where you are, they'll do it. Like if it comes to that.
But can they like tap on that computer of mine right now and see like, can they watch?
So
because I'll give them a fucking show.
So obviously, you know, I'm not 100% sure as far as that, but knowing the technology, you know, you can do it. Like a hacker could do that 100%, a normal hacker, like a good hacker. But can the government do it because of the, you know, the stipulations and the policies that they have and they have to follow rules? Probably not. And with Apple's rules, probably not. There's so many guidelines in place. Like it can be done, but it's not allowed to be done. And you can't, I mean, if you're the government, you can't really do that. So you got to follow the rules. But you know, somebody could do it. Anonymous, you ever heard of the hacker?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They could do whatever they want to you right now. They're creepy.
tell me more.
No, that they could probably log onto these cameras right now and watch what they're pretty crazy.
See, that's what's scary. I'm a part-time like doomsday prepper in real life and in my head where it's like, first off, what I think is funny is like, we're talking about the terms and conditions of TikTok. I found this to be like legitimately funny and coincidental that like you are complaining about TikTok's terms and conditions, but yet they can tap into your audio of your phone and see everything that you do whenever they want. And you're worried about TikTok having it. Well, it's not about, I'm like, yo, the moment you had a phone, the moment that you were born.
Yeah, you have 30,000 pictures on this phone and you say, I want to allow this app that was made in China to, yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, but it's, and then it kind of comes to like, and I'm not discrediting any of this, right? Like I understand people's frustration and I understand that, you know, this is maybe above my pay grade and in terms of understanding all the nuances of it. I just found it to be funny that it's like, you're worried about TikTok having access to your information. Bro, they've had access to your information the day you got that phone.
Yep.
The day that you're born with a social birth certificate, they know, yeah, they got it all.
Yep.
They know the exact category that you click on.
I think it's generations too. Cause like my dad sometimes will send me a screenshot of an email and he's like, did I really just win $10,000? No, no, dad, do not click on that Best Buy email. Like that is not Best Buy.
Why the fuck are you signed up for Best Buy's newsletter, dad?
Yeah. Like what's up with that? You shouldn't be there. Check his credit card statements. But I think it's a generational thing. You know, me, my first iPhone was the iPhone 6. So I'm just so used to, or my first phone was the iPhone 6. So I'm just so used to this being everything. I think in, you know, 30 years from now, we'll just all 100% be used to it. But
we live on the grid, man. Like we lit candles this morning and you know, like the old school Bic candles, yep, right? You have to, like, yep, actually got to earn it. You got to use that thumb, man. Whereas we have this fancy one where you just click a button and I don't know, I guess it's been charged for like 6 years since we've had it, but yeah. I'm like,
how are you talking about?
Wait, the battery is going down. We have to charge our lighter. Like everything's on the grid now.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting that you're, you know, you're living out on the land and you have a, what is it called? A barn?
Barn dominium.
Barn dominium.
Yeah.
There we go. See that two times fast, Jerry. Barn dominium. But yet you're in a tech space, right? So I think we're like in this very unique time of civilization that everything from your lighter to your car getting plugged in with Tesla to doing a podcast show to being on social media, everything's like on the grid, but yet you like being off grid, it sounds like.
Be out of it. So I actually, when I grew up with two older brothers. My dad was an electrician and we worked. Like our whole work ethic is 100% because of my dad. Like every day he left during the summer, you have a list of stuff to do and none of it's inside. Like you don't worry about cleaning your room. Go pick weeds out of the flower bed. Like go pick up the sticks. And we lived on 6 acres and there were trees everywhere. So go pick up sticks in the middle of the woods. Like what is this about? So we would do that. We had horses. We had fences all the way around our property. I mean, 6 acres property. And I was 11 years old with a steel weeder, which is like the heaviest weeder you can get, going around every fence post. And then I would get in trouble if I hit the wooden fence post because it would like chip at the bottom of the fence post. So I grew up definitely off-road type of deal. Even now to this day, I mean, I still go, we go muddy and I have a Polaris Razor, which is those two seater, it's for sale if anybody, but it's nasty. I mean, it's one of the top of the line razors.
Good
but
salesman.
That's just a little plug. But that is one of the, like, I love doing that stuff, like covered in mud. That's my idea. So, you know, when I bought the land, it was like, okay, I want to be able to do this, live out here. Cause I'm not really that techie. Like even then I'm just really good at making sales. Like my tech guys, which is, I guess this is what you would want, but they are 20 times better than me when it comes to repairing devices and stuff like that. They're very, very good at it. But I'm been good at social media. So I would consider myself to be better at marketing and learning to market and knowing what to market. And I just found a product that people want. And then I just market that product. And then it's turned into actually running a business, but it's really weird. Cause I'm not techie. I'm more of, I want to be like on a farm. Yeah. But at the same time, you know,
you're just leveraging,
this is what pays me, you know? So I do this and I'm good at it. So this is how I work.
What would you say for marketing? What do you see as, an opportunity in the next maybe 5 to 10 years in tech and marketing and social media and all the above? Like what would be some like bold predictions that you would make?
Man, predictions. I'm not necessarily sure on predictions because everything has turned into a short mindset. So, you know, YouTube videos, obviously those long form content, people will watch and do that, but people also, it's every 30 seconds. Like you get a video, if you don't get it within 5 seconds, 10 seconds, you're on to the next one. So we've turned into, you know, a society that's, you got to capture my attention at first. And then if you don't, I'm on to the next one. So it's a super, super quick flip on social media. You know, everybody's doing now is TikTok now. You got reels, you got shorts, you have obviously the TikTok videos and every single platform does that. So I don't, when it comes to predictions, I'm not exactly sure. I don't think I know any of that.
What about tech? Is it like the metaverse? What are some of those guys saying at the office?
So the Apple just released the Vision Pro. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that. We actually, when we leave here today, we're going to do an unboxing, the whole nine yards on that. It's pretty sick. But it's the headset, right? And you can connect it and it's supposed to be pretty legit. The videos I've seen already, you could sit in your living room, have the headset on, and it is as if you have like 6 TVs on your wall. It's that, like you could think there's a TV up there. You could put a TV in every single corner. You can bring your text message over here. It's going away. It's not going away with a computer, but if you're someone that you don't have to, and maybe it gets to the point of photo editing and stuff on that, which would be insane. But even with, you know, it takes away your like keyboard, everything's here. It's Iron Man type of thing. Mm. You know,
you're using your hands. Cause it's like basically to like, if you want to send a message, maybe you'd like swipe over like that. So you do like a hand motion if people are watching the podcast and not listening in. I'm doing like a hand motion, like a swipe motion to where you would do that with a keyboard.
Yep.
Or you'd have to like,
or a mouse.
A mouse. Yep. Right. Or I got to type this out or I want to go, oh yeah, I need to pull up this other tab. You're basically saying that that's all like on this headset that you can visually see.
And the thing is too, it's not just the headset. So if I have the headset on right now, supposedly, I haven't opened the box yet, but supposedly there's going to be, I'm going to see everything in this room and it's going to look like there's a screen on that wall because I have the headset on. So it's not putting you into a, like too far outside of reality.
Like a computer.
It's just bringing things into reality while you have the headset on. Okay. Is one way to look at it. So I could look over there and they're sitting over there, but there's also a screen on that wall and there could be 6 different screens. And at the same time, if you want to bring up text message over here, but also pull up YouTube over here, you can watch every single basketball game there is and also text your friend and look at a Mr. Beast video. Like it's the entire.
Or listen to an All for Nothing podcast.
Yeah. Sorry. There you go. It's the whole nine yards. It's supposed to be pretty, okay. I'm excited for it. It's super expensive devices, but my main thing is, what are you going to use that for on a daily basis? Like we use computers now to edit videos, to work our daily Excel spreadsheets, the whole nine yards there. What am I going to put this? What is, and it's a $3,500 headset. What am I going to use this for? How can I make this be used on a daily basis to where it like, it benefits me. So it's pretty cool. But being that Apple came out with it, Apple doesn't have anything that fails. Like ever. Like their products are good products. So if Apple comes out with it, and you know, it puts you in the space of, okay, what's happening in the next 5 years, whether it's, you know, Zoom meetings, a lot of Zoom meetings are, everybody does Zoom meetings now. But can you put that on and it feel like you're in the meeting? If I have, you know, my six executives at my office, right? Can they all have one of these and we're in the same, you know, house or conference room and it's online? Like, but does it feel like we're in the same room type of thing? A lot of that augmented reality stuff is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's what's going to be wild. It's like,
and AI too.
Probably. Do you think like me doing the podcast show will probably actually be more of that? Like where me and somebody across the country, across the state, across town, across the world.
You could definitely do that.
We're doing a show and it feels like they're right here.
If you had, because you could set the background to what you want it to be. It's sort of like Zoom, but on 10. So you could have, if you had one of those, and I don't know if it interacts. Normally Apple doesn't work with other products very well. But if they have a headset, you have a headset, it could be like, hey, I'm interviewing someone that's in California, but they're in the All for Nothing podcast room. Like almost. And at that point, you know, if you can sit here and connect everything like it should be, I mean, why not do it that way? If it's the same feeling, obviously you don't get the, hey, how you doing with the handshake type of deal. But if you can, you know, mix that all up and it works and you can maybe even double your workflow, you know, a 30-minute meeting, 10 minutes of it is like saying hi to each other. You know what I mean? Can you triple your work meetings an hour because you got
But it's not the same of like getting attacked by Poppy. You know what I mean? Like you got it kind of feels different when you got 5 minutes of Poppy just trying to bite your leg off.
No, absolutely. No, that's always a different feeling for sure. It's more of a realistic. I think I personally like face-to-face type of thing. You know, even sometimes I have to Zoom people and set up meetings. I'm like, can you just come here? Like, can I just meet you?
Yeah. It feels weird, right? Like, cause I was on the forefront in terms of like my environment here in Columbus, where I felt like, you know, we don't need to be going to the office. Like this is my previous career. Like we can do this on Zoom or we can like record our computer and send those action steps out that way. But then I always come back like to the old school way of nothing beats in person. That's what I say like damn near every single podcast show. Like that's one of the thousand reasons why I love podcast shows in person is the personal relationship aspect. If no one listens to the show, look, hear that? Guest number two is getting hell. Let's go, baby. Get that real-time experience. Poppy's barking in the background if you guys can't hear it. But it's just something about like, hey, I want people to listen to the show. I want clips to go viral. I want all those natural human things. But nothing's better than like this right here.
Right.
Nothing's better than this right here. And that's what makes me nervous about the new tech. Headset stuff.
It takes away this right here.
It's taking away that, right? Is it really enhancing human life?
Yeah.
And I think that's the controversial conversation is like the tech is actually taking humans farther away.
Yeah.
No, although it's connecting us, it's also disconnecting us.
Well, it's the same thing. You know, when you go out to a restaurant or you go out to a public place, like everybody's on their phone. It's like, why do we come to a restaurant? I find myself doing it. It's not like I'm preaching to the choir here, right? So it's like a thing where you have to actually, I need to put my phone down. If I go on a date with my girlfriend, I'm like on my phone. I'm like, okay, if I wanted to work or something, I should be at work right now. I shouldn't be doing both things. And that's the same, that's everything with, you know, social media kind of ever since, you know, when the iPhone came out in 2007, from then when you have internet, everything's touchscreen, get into Facebook, it's always like you want to see what other people are doing. So you get on it and scroll. And then you lose track of what you're doing.
Are you nervous for that? And/or how have you dealt with that? Like the mental health side, because I think we're starting to really see it now, as far as like mental health of social media, and just technology in general.
Well, social media. If you look at other people, you're friends with X amount of people, right? If you look at everybody's life and compare them to yours, you're probably always going to be sad in some way, right? Or happy, right? But you know, if you look at, you have people that are doing great, you know, doing exactly what you want to do. I do that a lot. So there's a couple people that are my age that are like succeeding very well. And I look at them and I'm like, man, why are we on different levels of life? Like, what can I do to get there? But it's all about how you take it too. And I think that's when the mental toughness comes into play. As far as the mental health goes, is you have to look at there's different ways. I could look at people doing better than me and be like, man, I'm a failure. Or I can look at people doing better than me and be like, what can I do to get to their level? And the mental toughness is deciding which one you choose to do. Because you can always look at something negatively, or you can look at something positively. If you choose positively, you know, I think your mental health will be better, but it requires mental toughness to choose the positive answer. If that makes sense. A little confusing, I guess.
No, I think you're totally right. It's a comparison, right? Like if you find yourself comparing to watching that person's video when you're laying in bed still, that's usually going to put you in that lower frequency,
mm-hmm.
right? Of not being, instead of like, I envy them. I'm comparing myself to them, right? And it can be like, yep. Well, that's very exhausting on your brain. As far as the mental toughness, though, are there things that you do? Because, I mean, again, you're running a successful business. You have nearly a dozen people that are relying on you for a paycheck and supporting their life and their families. And it's not easy, man. So that's why I genuinely say this, like much respect to what you've built, what you're continuing to build. It's day in, it's day out. Congratulations. You want to be an entrepreneur and you want to leave your 9-to-5. Welcome to 24/7, 365.
No.
So yeah, I guess I'm curious, like what are some things that you've learned along the way to keep your mind right, to keep your mind sharp, to take care of yourself, to fill your cup up first so you can fill up everybody else's cup, your clients, your customers, your team. Maybe just share some insight around that. I'm curious.
I think a lot of the things, and this is just, as I'm, you know, getting older, obviously, you know, I'll be 26 here in March. So I'm still a youngin.
Knees are hurting now.
Yeah, right.
Back, getting a little tight.
Getting a little bit older. I've noticed stuff, you know, I feel like if I would have took this as seriously as I am now when I was 18, I could be a little farther ahead. I think a lot of that has to do with the people that you hang around and what you do with the people that you hang around. So, you know, 21 Landon is not the same as he is right now. That was a little different era in my life. It was exciting. It was fun, but it was a different era. Now, you know, I'm more focused on stuff. I have several different people. I have good people that I go to, ask questions to, seek advice from. I have a great team of people that we work with too. And I think once you start growing and understanding, like people are looking up to you, I have people that are working for me at this point. Like I have to be an example to them. So there's days that I come in and maybe, you know, I just got in an argument. Something didn't happen right. Me and, you know, someone are upset with each other, but I come to work and I don't bring that in.
You got your girlfriend separate. Figured out how to get through the passcode.
Right.
She watched one of your videos.
Right. So, and that's one thing I talk to my guys sometimes about is, you know, the stuff that happens at home happens at home. Sometimes we take a break from home by going to work. And then other times we go home because we need to take a break from work. So having the two different, having the balance of a work life balance is extremely important.
And now because, it's hard because, sorry to interrupt you, but yeah. Like a lot of us are working from home.
Yep.
A lot of us are on the opposite side of the house. And then it's like, you're doing laundry in between and you're having lunch together kind of, but you're also like not. And then it's good to just like be able to say like, yo, I'll see you in 8 hours.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Right.
So especially if you're at home, it's like, okay, you're on the other side of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
No, for sure. I think that's something I struggle with all the time is because, you know, obviously I'm the one pushing content, pushing, you know, social media, and we have people working now for it, but it's a nonstop. Like the other day I was texting my guy. I was like, hey, what are we doing today? As far as there was a repair or something. And he texted me like 2 hours back. He's like, dude, why'd you text me at 5:15? Like AM. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I did not realize it was 5:15. I just woke up and immediately start thinking of business. So it's a struggle that I deal with all the time because it is like, this is plan A, but this is also plan B. This is plan C. Like I don't have anything else. So this is the plan.
I love that, man. Cause that's how you figure shit out when you have no choice.
Like I have to.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what would you like to do? Well, we have to do something because we can't just sit on it. We got to figure it out. So if it's whether me working until 10 PM every single night, like I have to do this. And that's one thing, you know, me and my girlfriend talk about all the time.
Or we get to do this, right? You don't work for Best Buy. You get to be a competitor.
And we travel. I love traveling. We travel all over the place.
So yeah, you just went on a trip, right?
We were just in Mexico over the weekend. And then we're going to Disney World in a couple of weeks. And like to be able to do that stuff it requires the 10 p.m., 11 p.m. nights and the 5 a.m. mornings. Like, but then you go back to saying, okay, well, then we got to get on schedule and do this. And I'm really bad. Alex, we even tell you, I'd be like, hey, I want to record Monday. He's like, okay, brings all stuff. Hey, I can't record today.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude,
I'm not feeling it.
I am not ready to sit in front of a camera and talk for the next, you know, hour on stuff like that. Like, I'm not ready to do that.
He's doesn't like, it make you feel like a sissy coming from where you come from?
Absolutely.
I can't talk on camera today.
You can't record. What do you, cause to me, you know, that's the perfectionist that comes out. Like, I want to make sure that whatever I put out, the customer see it consistent. This is Landon. This is Landon. This is strictly Apple, like all the way down the line. So one time we had a video, we shot it a couple of weeks ago. It's like a promotional video. It's probably like 45 seconds long. We did different shots all over our shop and we had it all done. I mean, down to, hey, let's push post. And I said, why wasn't my voice as excited in this clip than it was in the rest of them? So we took everything back. We reshot the clip, put it in there. Exactly how I wanted it. It was perfect.
Do you think it did better
in that clip?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cause it was completely bad. There's no way that I would, I had the whole thing. We had the whole thing done and I'm like, no, we have to redo that. There's no way I can't do that.
Yeah.
And that's after me hearing it 10 times and being like, yep, it's good. It's good. It's good. And then I'm like, nah, it's not good.
Yeah.
I got to post it on there. But, and I'm glad we did that cause it definitely changed the aspect of the video. Well, to me, it changed the aspect of the video. And I guess, you know, the customers probably wouldn't have noticed that, but if the content and the way, because everything I've done now has really been my idea. You know, how can we do this? How can we do this? So Alex is always asking, hey, what do you want to do? How do you want to do this? Because he knows how specific I am. So if I tell him, hey, I want to do this, I'll get it done. But if I don't like it, then it's like, okay, we got to change it. So everything that I've done so far has been, this is my idea. Let's do this. And it's worked. So I don't want to change it. But then it comes to the point where it's like, hey, should you change it? Because followers want to see something change. You know, when we went from repair videos to
unboxing
or sales videos, dude, crushed. Millions of views because I've never seen you do this. So we have some stuff that's coming out, side plug, that's going to be coming out here in the next like 60 to 90 days. I think it's going to be pretty sick. It's going to be stuff. I'm not saying nothing, so don't pull. But
and if it sucks, we'll just.
If we don't, I'm just going to say, no, we threw the idea to the trash, yeah. Actually. But it's I think it's going to do very well. I think it's going to help out our community a lot as well too, which is, you know, being a small business, we've been trying to insert ourselves in there as much as possible.
I think one thing that, business owners, struggle with, and I've struggled with this as well, is you try to get your team to care as much as you. Like, why'd you text me at 5 a.m. right? When you texted your employee at 5 a.m. and then you're like, why are they not up at 5 a.m.? Yep. Why do they not care as much as me? Either one, they shouldn't.
Right. Yeah. They
shouldn't.
You're not going to get that. And if you get that, it's scary.
and it's scary because it means that like, maybe this is not cut out for you, or it's actually cool because maybe you have an opportunity to bring them in and incentivize them, mm-hmm. whether it's through profit share, whether it's becoming a partner, however you decide to obviously structure that. But that's what I've learned in my journey is like, you know, hiring many people over the years, like, why does this person not, they shouldn't care as much as me. I'm the business owner, right? Or if you do see some of them care, like how can we create a path for them to be incentivized along the way?
Yep.
Right. And it doesn't necessarily always have to be money. It could be like, oh, maybe they just want to work from home this day.
I have a guy, very, very, very good worker, that works with us. And he, I told him at one point, hey, like, you know, once you work this period of time, show me what you got. We will work on like compensation. We'll figure it out. Cause he asked for something. I was like, hey, I don't know what you have right now, but let me figure it out and we'll get you there. One thing to him, he has two kids. He has a wife. He wants time with his family. He was like, can I just get a day off in the middle of the week? Instead of compensation, he wanted the day off. He was like, if I can make what I'm making now and just get a day off during the week, can you do that for me? I said, that seems like it will work for me. So when he comes in the day after he's off, bro, it's like it's a Monday because he got a day off. So he's fired back up. He's ready to roll. He takes the business seriously. And working with people, you know, as long as there's a common understanding and knowledge of like, hey, stuff's got to get done. I've realized that working with people is going to keep people a lot longer. Now there's excuses. There's a whole nother route to, you know, not working with people, but having those long-term, all of my guys have been with me for over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So having someone with you 2 years, that means, okay, hopefully they plan on staying here even longer. And then you can promote from within, the whole nine yards. So I've realized that. And, you know, I've never went to business school. I never went to college. I never went to anything. So learning all of this is 100% like trial and error.
I think a lot of it is our own brains trying to complicate things because our brains are designed to solve problems, right? So I always find that to be one of like the most simple things that people can do in business mm-hmm. is just change up the work week for that particular person,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't mean that you're just open to, you know, like floating around and, you know, sure there's value of being open during quote unquote business hours. But if anything showed us in 2020 COVID, like anything can be possible if you want it to be.
Yep.
Right. Like, oh, you just want to have Zoom meetings now? Just have Zoom meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you do that on a random Wednesday in the month of March of 2027, whenever the fuck that is, right? So it's like, why could you not just be like, yeah, John, you know what? Your wife has work off on Wednesday because she's a nurse. She never works Wednesdays and your kids are not in daycare. You guys all want to hang out? Sure. Take off Wednesday.
Yep.
And then he might actually get more stuff done because let's face it, dude. Other than like the business owner, and even how it's hard to say the business owner, like actually working and being extremely productive. Like I'm talking getting shit done for 8 hours every single day is very rare, in my opinion.
It's extremely hard to do. And you can't. So saw a video online. Don't know if it's true, but
it's gotta be. It's gotta be. It's
there was a guy, he was the owner of some business and they're asking him questions and they're like, what's the biggest thing that you've had to learn? And he said, I'm good at like doing this stuff, but I'm really good at delegating. He said, if you can have somebody replace you or delegate that job to, and they can do 70 to 80% as good as you can do, give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can, you know, have five people to do that. And it's better than you work and monitor yourself. So that's one thing I've also learned is like, hey, can you do it? How good do you do it? As long as our customers aren't, you know, upset, can you do the job properly? And if you can, it doesn't have to be the way that I, you know, landed. It doesn't have to be that way every single time. But if the job is getting done, why am I being so picky at it?
Yeah, it's new founder syndrome. No one's going to do it as good as me. And you get obsessed because it's your business. It's your reputation. You're a perfectionist, but it's the truth, right? You got to automate and delegate. And if you can automate or delegate and it gets done at least 50%, it's a game of time, money, and both. Yep. So, oh, wait, it's getting done 50% as good as I did it, but I get 100% of my time back. That's a net positive.
Absolutely.
Of 50%.
Yep.
So I think I was the rocket scientist that said that.
You might have been.
Yeah.
You might have been. I think it was more just I heard it out of the left ear. So I didn't see the video.
Yep. It usually happens with me often. As far as what's next, what is that for you in terms of what you guys have going on now? Like what's next for Strictly Apple? What are you guys trying to accomplish this year and following years? And maybe you're not quite sure what that is,
mm-hmm.
But I'm curious on what you guys have in place as far as goals for the next 12 months at least.
Yeah. So a lot of my goals are because so in the past several years, a lot of our business, my goal every year has been, hey, can we double it? Can we double it? Can we double it? Like, and that's easy to do when you're a smaller company. Like, you know, can you do that? So, but this past year we did very well. So it's like, can I double it? That's going to be harder to double that. So what can I do to double it? Well, if I look at, you look at all the percentages, the numbers and everything, I like to, you know, I'm somewhat of a numbers guy. I'm like, okay, if this many views did this, you know, we had 86 million views on social media last year. Well, if I want to double what I did last year, I did 172 million views. That's extremely hard to get. So it's like, if that's the numbers, right? 86 million did this, then if I want to double this, then I have to get the more views. So we've been pushing. So Alex, before it was just me. Now I have Alex and we have an intern. We have several interns working with us actually, but we have intern, which is a super cool program that Columbus has.
What is that? I'm curious.
You can have interns work with you. And then you're able to, you know, at the end of the year, up to a certain amount of hours and a certain amount of pay, Columbus will actually refund you up to a certain amount of money as well. So if you divide it right, you can get, I mean, an intern coming in there, learning about stuff. And face it, who's 18 years old and wants to be in high school? And that last 6 months of school, which is right now, I don't even know if there's a real point to it. And you know, when you're a senior, so what they're doing is they're saying, hey, you want to go in marketing? Well, here's a job that you can work in 3 days a week. It's going to give you a lot better than Miss Smith's Spanish class or something, or, you know, math class or something of that nature. You know what I mean? So that's a program.
With all those illegals coming in, you might need that Spanish.
I know. I probably shouldn't have said Spanish. I probably just went, I was thinking math, but.
I saw you look at my fiance a little weird. You're like, oh, she probably speaks Spanish. Damn it. I'm joking.
No. but that's the intern program. So we have that working this year, and I think it's going to work very well. I think even he's been there for his name's Tristan. He's been there for 30 days and he's doing very well. I think he's learned a lot. I think he's starting to understand it more. And if you can get a 6 month jump start and then hop into, you know, college and say, I have this background and maybe start working for a bigger company, dude, I did my job. Right. And I got paid back for what you did.
Yeah. That's incredible. I never knew that. And I think that's super valuable in terms of leveraging their genius, which is, especially for modern times, being on social media, that is what blows my mind. Like going to gyms and seeing kids like recording content, they have hundreds of thousands of subscribers. They can get massive brand deals. The opportunity for them to come in and make content for strictly Apple, because they might be able to do it better than you. It's almost like having multiple channels flow into strictly Apple, which can get you to that 170 plus million views or pieces of engagement that you need to double the business. Right. So you can show them like, hey, if you make content, that's good, right? That gets results. Maybe you give them a cut off the sale.
Right.
Right. Or however that works. Right. That's one thing I've been thinking of on my end as well, in terms of, okay, how can we double things, right? Or how can we grow and evolve without having to necessarily put in quote unquote more effort? It's just working smarter, not harder. If you had something to say there, share it. But I'm actually curious, and I'm curious on where you get advice from. I'm curious who you go to for mentorship, to run things by.
So there's a lot of what I've learned, I've done a lot of it on my own. Like, just like I said previously, like trial and error. But there's a couple people that I specifically in the past, I mean, my dad has always been someone that I'm like, dude, you got this. Like, he just, his work ethic's been there. He's taught us to work hard. Dad wasn't rich. Dad wasn't wealthy. He was just a hard worker, grew up on a farm every day, 5 a.m., the whole, you know, 9-yard farm kid life, right?
That's a whole different level of work.
Yeah, it's entire. He's mentally, like, mentally a, just, it's amazing. So working hard, no matter what it is, whether it's digging a hole or, you know, he did electric, so putting a panel in. He just taught us how to work hard, like do the job, do it right. Think ahead, you know, that whole 9 yards of working hard. And he's always been someone to push us there. So I think one of the biggest drives in my life is I want to make him proud with every single thing that I do. Like it's nonstop every single day. It's like, okay, like, is this something that he would do? Would this be smart? So he's really, 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 he impacts every single thing I do. Cause any son wants to make the dad proud. Like it's just, if that's what I want to do. So, that's a big drive for me. Another person that I've saw a lot of like business advice in, my girlfriend, her father is, we've been dating for 2 years. In the past 2 years, he has a business, the very well successful business. And he's taught me a lot. And, you know, he's 55-ish. So he's been through the whole grind of, you know, cash flow and customers and upset people and how to make it work. So a lot of times I come to him, like, what do I do? He's like, well, this doesn't make sense. What if you did it this way? On the business side of things, he's been tremendous and helping me with that side of things. So you put, you know, the business knowledge and then my dad with the extremely hard work and then sort of the social media stuff that I've learned and taught myself. Well, that's kind of, you put all three things together and it's made in the past couple of years what is here. So do I have a mentor, like somebody that I mentor? No, I don't have somebody that, hey, I got to ask you a question. I have a lot of people give me advice all the time. And you take that with a grain of salt. You know, sometimes it's good advice. There's been advice that I've been given. And it's like, that's a really bad idea. And then I think about it, I'm like, that's not that bad of an idea. And it might actually work, but you just, the way you take it or the way it's being said sometimes. So I don't know if that answers your question, but.
Yeah. Some people giving advice too. It's like, man, that's really good advice. I wish you would just believe in yourself to go do it yourself. Yep. Right. That's usually what it is in entrepreneurship or doing much of anything is just having that, ability to remove those limited beliefs, right? Like I have one of my clients, he's massive on social media. He's a genius when it comes to all the nuances of it. And he's doing a workshop right now. And he's basically getting people that are 50 plus years of age to start creating content and seeing the value of social media and monetizing in the creator economy, right? And so being a part of that process and kind of helping him behind the scenes and seeing all the comments and testimonials and video recordings and all of it from hundreds of people going through this workshop with them, legitimately 99.9% of it is just limited beliefs.
Really?
People just kind of getting in their own way, right? So that said, when it comes to business, though, that's really cool that you've turned to your father, you've turned to your girlfriend's father. And then you also have the self-awareness, though, too, that I can look in the mirror.
Yep.
And I know a couple of things as well.
Yep.
Right. And trust in yourself in that because listening to too much outside noise, advice, comments, DMs can get real loud real quick.
Yep.
And you're like, whoa,
hold it down for sure.
Yeah. So again, much respect there. What does he do out of curiosity?
He owns like a telecommunications company.
Okay.
They work with phone jacks and installing them and the whole nine yards there. And, internet and things of that nature.
What about Apple? Is it symbolic to like end of time taking a bite out of the apple? Does that scare you?
I have no idea. No. that stuff, I mean, was that technically a conspiracy theory?
I don't know.
I don't know. But it's one of those things I'm like, I don't know.
I try to pull the politics and religion out of people if I can. Like Tyler, let's not talk about it. I was like, eh, we'll see about that.
Yeah, no, a little bit. No, I don't think the apple is I think Steve Jobs was just a genius and came up with it and it stuck and yeah.
You like the travel. You guys went to Mexico, any other, or you're going to Disney World. You're going to check out the underground tunnels you were saying earlier. just joking people.
No.
Got to have fun with it. But yeah, where else are you guys going?
So we're going to Disney World. We just went to Mexico. And like 3 weeks from now or 2 weeks from now, I'm going on a duck hunting trip.
Hey, let's go.
Illinois, snow geese.
Snow geese?
Snow geese, whatever you want to say. Up in like Illinois, we're driving there. It's actually really, really fun. I'm not a big, like, not a deer hunter or anything like that. But when it comes to like waterfowl, and it's a different, I enjoy it. Now, I'm not a big hunter by any stretch of the imagination, but I enjoy it thoroughly. So
why do you enjoy it? Like, why do you enjoy hunting?
There's just a aspect of, there's just an aspect of like going out there and sitting in like the freezing cold and waiting for these birds to get locked in. And then when they, you just give them everything you got once they're nose down. Yeah, it's just fun. And it's a group of guys. We have like 18 guys going. So we'll go there in a field at 4 a.m. We'll leave and we'll put all the decoys out and stuff. And you're dressed in these big white suits. You lay there. And I mean, we did it originally in like January and dude, it was probably negative 15 degrees outside and the wind's blowing. There's no trees. We're in the middle of a cornfield. Corn's down. It's January. And that was just like something that I'm like, dude, I've always liked it. And it's my brother's going with me. He's really into hunting. So spending time with him is always super cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So
is it like something cool to just like get away, hang with the boys, like be able to shoot the shit a little bit?
That's definitely part of it. Yeah. That's definitely part of it. So a couple people are flying from out of state to Illinois, but we have a 15 passenger van that we're loading everybody up in and driving. It's like an 8-hour trip, which is also experience in itself. Cause sometimes you get, you know, being in front of the camera and being like, so, you know, in the public, like where a lot of people know you and they're looking for you. Sometimes it's like fun to just get away where nobody knows you or like nobody asks you questions or I don't have cell reception, but I'm not mad about it. Like you can wear whatever you want, act however you know you want, and just be a normal human without having to like impress somebody. You know what I mean? And that's, and not saying that's how I always feel when it comes to strictly Apple, but I found myself in Grove City, and
famous
around the Columbus area.
He's famous now.
If I there was a couple of weeks ago we were at, I was with my buddies and we went to the RV, expo with the RV expo. And it's like, it's really cool. You know, you go there and you look at stuff and it's the same stuff every year, but we went down there.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that, but no, I hear you.
There's an RV and boat show, at the Celeste Center downtown. So, we went there and there was like somebody in line that was like, hey, like what happened? We had a shop in Lewis Center that we closed down at one point. He's like, what happened to that shop? I'm like, who are you? Like, yeah. do I know you? Because normally, you know, somebody wouldn't recognize me, but I was like, okay. So then it makes me feel like I got to dress up, like dress in a more business casual setting. You can't, you know.
Yeah. When you start, when you're creating content and you are making things happen online, it can start putting some weird things in your head as far as like going to the gym and people look at you like, are they looking at me because they listen to my podcast show? Maybe I said some wild shit.
Yeah.
And
they didn't agree
with it and they hate me. Or, you know, you fixed their computer or they bought a computer from you and maybe it broke and they never told you about it. So it can be like a mental game, in my opinion. And I'm obviously making an assumption for you, right? But that's why I'm asking you certain questions around like the mental health side and just cool aspect that you have to yourself, which is like being very connected technology, but yet also understanding the value of the harmony of things, of balance, of being disconnected.
Yeah.
Right. Throwing the phone aside and saying, well, I got a team, right? And I empower them. If it gets done, great. If it doesn't, whoop-de-doo, I'll be back in 7 days.
Well, that's the thing too, is a lot of times I feel like I don't put enough confidence in them. It's like, if I feel like I have to be in charge of everything, which I do a lot of the times, so I'm like, okay. But then when I go away, I went away 10 times last year or something like that. It never slipped. Like maybe some small issues, but they would have happened if I was there or not. And they got taken care of more than likely, you know, 9 out of 10 times the exact way I would have taken care of them. So putting the confidence in them also builds their confidence as an employee. And, you know, when an employee has confidence in what they do, they're going to work better because they're like, this is how you do it. I've done it a million times. I've got the reassurance that this is how you do it. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to have backlash or anybody upset. I'm not gonna be in trouble because I'm doing it this way. And when you put that confidence in them, it just makes everything work better. So now, I mean, I truly feel like I could leave shop for at least a month. No connection, as long as, you know, inventory is still coming in and stuff, but no connection and everything would run efficiently with no issues, which is a cool place to be in. But I know I can do that, but it's a mental thing. Like, no, I gotta be back. Like I was gone 4 days. We went to Mexico and I'm like, dude, I gotta get back.
Yeah. It's that cool part of business though, right? It's cause you love it. It's like a game. It's a sport. Like you love it. You love to be in the game and you don't want to be on the sideline. Cause most people that jump into entrepreneurship, it's cause you want that control. You want freedom. You want to have the margarita in Mexico on the beach. After day four, you're like, yo, let's get back to work, baby. Let's get back to work. But also too, that's one of the weird things that I have to encourage myself with, but that I've learned in my journey and have had others consider is like, hey, actually you should take that trip sooner. Mm-hmm. You should take the trip sooner because if you don't, by the time you take the trip, you're already burnt out and you've already ran through all the nonsense problems and you've already had that negative clash with your team, with the customer, with the client, with people in your environment. Whereas if you take the trip sooner, you're actually going to see what is potentially broken in your business sooner.
Yep.
And
that's a good way to put it. I've never thought of it like that specific way. Like what's messing up when I'm gone? Okay, that needs help. Versus keep helping the people that already know what they're doing.
Exactly. And then problems that do pop up, you're like, ooh, we need to solve this. This is actually, but then also when you're going on that flight, at least for me, most of the time I've thought about immediately the high priority items, right? And so it's like, oh, wait, hold up. These are the things that actually need to be fixed in the business or what's pulling me into the business. Ooh, that's what's taking my time away from this trip, right? Yeah.
And I think the one reason too, and sometimes, you know, not everybody sees it this way, but whenever I go out of town or like go on vacation or just step away, because normally it's not more than like a 4 day thing. I'm on a flight specifically. I don't know why. You probably closer up there in the air, you might think differently, I guess.
Space of genius, baby, up there.
But it's like you start thinking about yourself like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. This is a good idea. Or just a way. When you're disconnected from what you do, we get in such like a habit of doing the same thing every single day. That's all we're going to do. But then you step away from it and like you don't think about those things for maybe a few days, or you get to the place where you can be in a clear space. You're like, okay, should I do this? Maybe I should try this. Will this help? I've never thought about this. The whole video idea that, you know, me and Alex are going over that we're going to put out in the next couple of days, that came from 25,000 foot in the air. Like that was, I was on a plane sitting there on the way back this past Monday. And I'm like, dude, I text Alex. I'm like, we're going to tear this thing up. Like this is going to work. And those ideas come, you know, all the time. I know he's text me ideas for shorts and reels and stuff like that all the time as well. And he's like, it's like 2 a.m. He's like, I'm up. This is an idea. And I'm like, dude, let's do it.
He's like, you up
that time, that clear space. Cause you know, that 9 to 5 is, you know, when the work happens, but like that 5 to 9 is like when the work happens, like it's, that's the thought process. That's what, when you can think so.
Yeah. The space of genius and the genius is created in the space, right? So like when you give yourself that separation, even sitting here, I would imagine like when's the last time you sat here and just had a conversation without looking at an email? I know the moment that we're wrapping this show up, you're going to be like, ah, fuck, who's texting me? Who's on the watch, right? It's just a normal human thing. Yeah. I'm guilty of it more than anyone. So it's like creating that space. It's like that. I know I'm in a plane, or I know I'm in the sauna, or I know that I'm driving without any stimulation, no music on, not texting, not calling anyone, or just going out in nature, going on a hunting trip, whatever it may be, your brain just like calms down.
Mm-hmm.
It calms down. It's like, oh no, I don't have to check emails. I didn't buy the Wi-Fi pass. It's not even working anyway. And it said it came with the flight. Like, and then you go, ooh, that's that idea.
Where'd this come from? What's been sitting up there for 6 months, but it hasn't been able to get down where it needs to go.
But if you're on the team, you can't take the trip. You got to stay here and work. I got to go. The trip, right. So
no, I think it's a real good, it's actually where you learn, you know, sometimes I was talking to somebody about this like 3 months ago. I was like, dude, I can't sleep at night. Like I'm thinking, especially our Christmas season, our November and December was insane. We did great, but it's insane. And I'm like up all night. So one thing that I have trouble in is I'll roll over and try to see what time it is on my phone. Well, if I see what time it is on my phone and I see a notification on there, then I'm like, notification, like, what is that? Why did they text me? Why did this? What sales came through? Because I can see it all on my phone. I'm like, you get going. And I can't do that at all. Now, anytime that I'll be up at 3 a.m., like responding to emails, what's going on? And I have horrible sleep if I do that. So now it's like, okay, I put it on the little personal do not disturb that you can do there on the phone. And only like my parents or like brothers can text me. And I don't touch that until my girlfriend wakes up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not touching it. Just sit here. Yeah. Don't touch it. Because then sometimes I'll wake up and it might be like 5:30 and I'm like, okay, I'll just sit there. Like I'm ready to roll type of thing. But that is also space that I don't get. If I can put my phone for eight hours down a day, sometimes some of the best thoughts come through right there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Bro, this was fun, man. I had a good time chatting with you. Absolutely. You enjoy yourself?
Yeah. No, this is sick. I'd like to do it again.
Let's do it. Anything else that you want to, we'll have all your info below in the bio.
Okay.
And the description section where people can go check out all your fun stuff you got going on. The name of the show is All for Nothing, because I believe that most people live their life. They go day in and day out and they have nothing to show for it, right? They are working hard. They're saving money. And most of the time that money is actually spent on health expenses, medical bills, right? Or they have everything handed to them, but it returns back to poverty within the second generation, I believe, because a mentality wasn't instilled. And or they didn't have to necessarily go earn it. They didn't have a no choice of there's no other option. It was essentially handed to them, right? So for you, what are you doing, Landon, to ensure that you're not doing this all for nothing?
There's a lot of things in our community that we've changed in the past year. So getting to the place where we are now, it's been like, okay, we're in a place, we're in a good place. You know, everybody's getting paid. Bill, you know, we're starting to increase our sales and, you know, we're doing good. And one thing that we've instilled this year is giving back to the community. A lot of what the videos that we're about to come out has to do with giving back to the community. We started this year to take a percentage of the profits that we make and give them to charitable causes. So it's not going to be just, you know, not just the charity down the street or stuff like that. We're going to be going back and hopefully at some point be giving items like to families that need them, or if there's children, they need a vehicle, like a van, or special needs families, or around Christmas time. I want to be at the point where we can give, you know, here's 100 iPads to 100 kids that need these for school. Like that's the idea. And I think that just selling Apple products is one thing, but then also being in the place that we could give back to our community is an entirely different thing. And it doesn't just have to be the Grove City or Columbus community. It would be cool to take 100 iPads down to Texas, right? And give them to people in those communities as well. Or trying to use what we have and what our customers purchase from us, taking a percentage of it and then putting them back into, you know, others' customers' hands that can't always afford an Apple product. You know, Android is the number one selling phone, but a lot of them are from the phones that are given out as far as like from the government. They get them, those are the Android phones. So if we can put devices that people can't afford into the hands of people that can't afford them, maybe they can use them. Maybe there's a kid out there that he needs an iPad because he wants to be an artist and he could be a really good artist, whether he's, you know, drawing, you know, picture frame type stuff, or he's making album covers, you know, with his hands.
Or like creating NFTs. Or
yeah, something of that nature. Yeah. Could an iPad help him do that? And it doesn't have to be, it's not going to be the newest iPad Pro out, but if I can give him an iPad and give him a pencil, and then 25 years from now, that kid comes back and he's like, dude, this is because it started here. That does something for me. And it just makes me feel like, okay, it's more. I tell my guys all the time, like we're selling Apple devices, we're fixing Apple devices, but it will eventually, we get to the point, it will be much more than just repairing Apple devices. It's going to be a whole ecosystem of helping people out.
So it's going to be buy, sell, repair, and give.
Yeah, strictly giving. That's our hashtag.
Strictly giving.
2024. That's it.
Whatever you can do to get less Androids in the world, right?
That's the goal.
That's the mission statement.
Yes.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Boom. See you in the next show.